some water, please?
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Kama Adibi Anavidam Prashanta Akila Vritti Chitam Brahmasukha Sprishtam Na Eva Utishtita Karachit. Kamadi Bir Anavidam. Prashanta Kila Vrittiyat Chitam Brahma Sukha Sprishtam Naivoti Shteta Karachit Kamadi Bir Anavidam Prashanta Kila Vrittiyat Chitam Brahma Sukha Sprishtam Naivotishteta Karachit Kamadibir Anavidam Prashanta Kila Vrittiyat Chitam Brahma Sukha Sprishtam Naivotishteta Karachit.
Ladies, please. Kama Adibi, by various lusty desires, Anavidam, unaffected, Prashanta, calm and peaceful, Akila Vritti, in every respect, or in all activities, yet that which Chittam, consciousness, Brahma Sukha, Sprishtam, being situated on the transcendental platform in eternal bliss. Excuse me. Na, not. Eva, indeed. Utishtita, can come out. Karachit, at any time. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Translation. When one's consciousness is uncontaminated by material lusty desires, it becomes calm and peaceful in all activities, for one is situated in eternal blissful life. Once situated on that platform, one does not return to materialistic activities. Please repeat. When one's consciousness is uncontaminated by material lusty desires, it becomes calm and peaceful in all activities. For one is situated in eternal blissful life. Once situated on that platform, one does not return to materialistic activities. Purport. Brahmasukha Sprishtam is also described in Bhagavad Gita 18:54. Brahmabhuta prasanatma na shochiti na kanchiti sama sarveshu bhuteshu madbhaktim labhate param. Which means, one who is transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments or desires to have anything. He is equally disposed toward every living entity. In this situation, he begins transcendental activities or devotional service to the Lord. Unquote. Generally, once elevated to the transcendental platform of Brahma Sukha, transcendental bliss, one never comes down. But if one does not engage in devotional service, there is a chance of his returning to the material platform. Aruya krichchena param padam tata patantyadon adrita yasmad anugraha. One may rise to the platform of Brahma Sukha, transcendental bliss, but even from that platform, one may fall down to the material platform if he does not engage himself in devotional service. Omagina timirandasya gananjana shilakaya chakshur unmilitam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto his lotus feet. Kamadibir ana vidam prasantakila vrittiyat chitambrahma sukha sprishtam naivotishteta karachit. When one's consciousness is uncontaminated by material lusty desires, he becomes calm and peaceful in all activities, for one is situated in eternal blissful life. Once situated on that platform, one does not return to materialistic activities. Before beginning, I'd like to wish everyone a happy holy day. It's called a holiday, but it really is a holy day because it is the auspicious day of the advent of Lord Jesus Christ. And I'd like to begin this talk by reading a few quotes by Srila Prabhupada and what his feeling was and what his regard was for Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this comes from the Science of Self-Realization. And those of you who have the pocketbook, it's on page 124. And it's mentioned, the Srimad Bhagavatam states that any bona fide preacher of God consciousness must have the qualities of titikshika, tolerance, and karunika, compassion. In the character of Lord Jesus Christ, we find both these qualities. He was so tolerant that even while he was being crucified, he didn't condemn anyone. And he was so compassionate that he prayed to God to forgive the very persons who were trying to kill him. This is very remindful of Haridas Thakur when he was being whipped in 21 marketplaces, whipped to the point of the attempt being to kill him. And during that period of time, he was simply praying, oh Lord, please forgive them. Please forgive them. They don't know really what they're doing. And the only reason they wanted to kill him was that because of his sincerity, because of his depth, because of his love of God, he was beginning to attract a following. And the practice that he performed was the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, which to the Muslims was a Hindu chant. And the very fact that he was beginning to acquire somewhat of a following, people were chanting Hare Krishna. People were venerating him, glorifying him, bowing down to him. This did not set well with the Muslim rulers. So they wanted to make an example of him, that this should not be done. This is an inferior religion, according to them, and that it does not deserve to be honored. So they tried to kill him, and finally, they could not do it. So finally, Haridas Thakur said, you want to kill me? And they, of course, said, yes, if we can't kill you, then we're going to get killed because our leaders, our rulers have ordered us to kill you. So he said, all right, I'll die. So he just lay down and went into a very deep state of samadhi, which there was no breathing whatsoever. And then they decided they would throw him in the Ganges, and they decided, or they thought he was dead. And a few hours later, he just came walking back, and when they realized that he was impossible to kill him because he was protected by the Supreme Lord, he was protected by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The protection he was getting, it was one of, was which he was not even feeling the pain of the blows of those, or the whippings. Didn't feel that. Lord Chaitanya had taken it from him. As Krishna says, in all activities, just depend upon me and work always under my protection. In such devotional service, be fully conscious of me. If you become conscious of me, you will pass over all the obstacles of conditioned life by my grace. And here we see the grace of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu upon Haridas Thakur. No one could kill him. So, continuing on, so, Jesus was so tolerant that even while he was being crucified, he didn't condemn anyone. And he was so compassionate that he prayed to God to forgive the very persons who were trying to kill him. Of course, they could not actually kill him. But they were thinking that he could be killed. So they were committing a great offense. It is a great offense to kill a pure devotee, especially or attempt to kill a pure devotee, especially one who is a Shaktivesha avatar, incarnation of God. As Christ was being crucified, he prayed, Father, forgive them. They know not what they are doing. Which is what Haridas Thakur prayed. And in another area on the same page, Jesus Christ was such a great personality, the Son of God, the representative of God. He had no fault. Still, he was crucified. He wanted to deliver God consciousness, but in return, they crucified him. They were so thankless. They could not appreciate his preaching, but we appreciate him and give him all honor as the representative of God. Of course, the message that Christ preached was just according to his particular time, place, and country, and just suited for a particular group of people. But certainly, he is the representative of God. Therefore, we adore Lord Jesus Christ and offer our obeisances to him. Once in Melbourne, a group of Christian ministers came to visit me, Srila Prabhupada says. They asked, "What is your idea of Jesus Christ?" And I told them, "He is our guru. He is preaching." He is preaching God consciousness, so he is our spiritual master, unquote. The ministers very much appreciated that. Actually, anyone who is preaching God's glories must be accepted as a guru. Jesus Christ is one such great personality. We should not think of him as an ordinary human being. The scriptures say that anyone who considers the spiritual master to be an ordinary man has a hellish mentality. If Jesus Christ were an ordinary man, then he could not have delivered God consciousness. And obviously, he did deliver God consciousness. His disciples asked him, "What is the greatest commandment?" And he answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That is the greatest commandment. It comes first. And after that, or second, love your neighbor as yourself." And this is very much what Srila Prabhupada came to bring. The word Christ generally is referred to or is defined as anointed. In ancient days, when a king was crowned, he would be anointed with some oil, and a priest would do that and at the same time utter some prayers. And in the course of uttering the prayers, the understanding was that God would come and bless this king so that he would be able to fulfill his duties, fulfill his functions well. So that was what was meant by anointing. It was a symbol of God blessing that particular priest. So Christ is considered, the word Christ means anointed. It also means, it comes from the Greek Christos, and Christos comes from the word Krista, which in India means Krishna. So Christ, he was anointed not with oil, but with the Holy Spirit or with the Paramatma, the Supersoul. That was his anointing. And the anointed one is also referred to as the Redeemer, the Savior, the one who rescues the material, the persons in the material world who are afflicted with materialism, to rescue them and spiritualize them so that they may come to the eternal kingdom, which is what he primarily preached, what he chiefly preached about. So here in today's verse, we have when one's consciousness is uncontaminated by material lusty desires, it becomes calm and peaceful in all activities. So this is the goal of Krishna consciousness. Presently, our consciousness is contaminated. It's contaminated by the illusion that we are the material body. This is the the idea. I am this body, I am the mind, and I am the intelligence. And with these, my business is to try and become a master, a controller, a lord. That's what we came down to this world for, from the eternal world. Originally, we were all Krishna-conscious living entities. But because we wanted to taste the pleasure of being a controller, having envy of Krishna, since Krishna was is in this eternal world, is glorified, honored, applauded, celebrated, served, the curiosity arose, the envy arose. What does it taste like? What does it feel like to be a lord? And so when the desire to be an enjoyer, the desire to be a controller, the desire to be a proprietor, the desire to be the friend of all, in other words, everyone should be my friend, everyone should like me, adore me, glorify me, honor me. When that desire became so important, so overwhelming, we are no longer qualified, no longer fit to live in the eternal world. So we needed a different world, and that world is this world, which was created so that we could satisfy that particular desire. And when we entered into this world, the soul became covered by materiality. Materiality means no longer do I want to serve the Supreme Lord. No longer do I want to glorify Him. No longer do I want to honor Him. But rather now I am the center of all activities. I want to be honored. I want to be glorified. I want to control. I want to be a proprietor. I want people to love me. I want to honor me, to bow down to me. This is what we became. And so when you've got millions and billions of persons or souls who want to do the same thing, they begin to bang heads. And in the course of banging heads, they fight. And that's why you have fights on a personal level. Each one wanting to be superior to the other. Each one wanting to control the other. Each one wanting to devastate the other. Get rid of the other. Like in corporations, person wants to be the president or the CEO. So there's a fight. And finally one gets it. And he feels comfortable for a few moments. He feels that he's in a very prestigious, very elevated position until another person comes, excels him, exceeds him, and they get rid of the old one. So in the material world, everything is working towards someone trying to be superior to another. In the animal level, it's one animal eating another animal. And that's what material life is all about. It's about it's about conquering. It's about being better, being higher, being greater than someone else. This is what material life resolves to. But Srila Prabhupada came and he brought a better idea. Instead of trying to be a lord, as the verse goes, one who knows that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, the supreme proprietor, the supreme friend of all, attains peace from the pangs of material existence. So to have this peace which is being talked about when we have pure consciousness, one has to purify. Has to purify the body, purify the mind, purify the intelligence. And that purification comes through the process of devotional service, devotional activities. Chanting the holy name, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, associating with devotees, worshipping the Lord, living in a holy dham. Remembering the Lord. Serving His lotus feet. offering prayers to Krishna, practical service, things that we have to do to maintain ourselves, practical service, surrendering body, mind, and words for the Lord. As Krishna says, engage your mind always in thinking of me. Become my devotee. Offer obeisances and worship. Offer obeisances unto me. Thus completely absorbed in me, surely you will come to me. So the process of cleansing the consciousness is the process of becoming more and more Krishna conscious, deliberately, intentionally. It doesn't come automatically. What comes automatically is to pamper our bodies, or pamper our mind, pamper the intellect, to try to gain some sway, gain some importance, gain some influence through beauty, through wealth, through strength, or influence, or power, fame, materialistic knowledge, or acting aloof or cool. These different attractions may bring us some temporary pleasure, temporary happiness, but they only last for a short amount of time. Very short. And no sooner does one have that, than he's in anxiety. Anxiety over what? Over what will be his next accomplishment. So we continue to acquire, to accomplish, acquire, accomplish. So many things we bring into our lives, we accomplish, we gain homes and cars and positions, all of which at the time of death is lost. It's all gone. And we have absolutely nothing to show for this. A big zero. Nothing. Except the satisfaction that I did it. And that satisfaction is soon lost because eventually you forget all that. And then you come back to repeat the same thing, the cycle of birth, death, and rebirth, on and on, experiencing the three kinds of miseries, those which arise from our own body and mind, the miseries which come from other living entities, the miseries which are coming from the the demigods, or the cataclysms and catastrophes. Especially in this holiday time, people get drunk, you know, and they start to fight with one another. Adibodhic miseries. Or when you have your credit card numbers and your credit card expiration dates, as has happened in the latest Target debacle. 40 million people had their credit cards compromised. This is adibodhic. And somebody gets your credit card number, gets your name, gets your code, they make up counterfeit cards. And if you have a debit card, they get into your bank account, they steal all the money. If you have a credit card, they start buying things until finally it's discovered. It's been going on since Black Friday in November. So it just got discovered a week ago. I'm simply giving an example. In this material world, nothing is safe. No one is protected except those who beg the protection of the Supreme Lord. By beg the protection, I mean, as Krishna says, in all activities, just depend upon me. If we depend upon the Lord, we remember the Lord. We ask Krishna for his help to guide us, to develop us, to help us so that we are enabled to become Krishna conscious, and ultimately go back home, back to Godhead. This is where the ultimate goal is, to go back home, back to Godhead, and not have to experience the miseries of this material world. And there are quite a number of them. And we've been given the process to do this. This chanting of the holy name, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yes, this name is so important, it's so precious, it's so great, it's so glorious. Sometimes we chant it, and we forget its real importance, because something that you do regularly, something that you do often, we tend to forget the true meaning, the true value of it. It's like when you meet somebody who is of a prestigious position. At first, we have awe and we have some reverence. But as you come to know the person on a more familiar ground, you begin to forget his importance, his greatness. This happens. And in forgetting it, we begin to make offenses. Offenses because we take the person for granted. Even Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, he begins to, when after Krishna has revealed his universal form to him, he apologizes. He said, I took you for granted. I called you Yadava. I stayed with you. I joked with you. I slept on the same bed as you. And I thought of you as just as my pal, my friend. And I totally forgot your real, great, amazing position. So similarly, this holy name is so important because it's non-different from Krishna. Being non-different from Krishna, that means when I say Krishna or Hare Krishna, I'm associating with Krishna. I'm associating with Radha. I'm associating with Ram. So associating with them, this is what Krishna's grace to enable us to be able to come home, back home to Godhead, making it easy for us. Because in former ages, in Satyayuga, people had to meditate. They'd meditate for 60, 70,000 years. They lived long lives in those times. Or in Treta Yuga, they performed elaborate sacrifices. And in Dwapara Yuga, they did very ornate types of worship ceremonies. But in Kali Yuga, we have this simple process. And although Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults, there is still one good quality about this about this yuga. And that is simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, one can become free from material bondage and promoted to the spiritual kingdom. It has been made easy. Even the demigods are lining up to take birth here so that they can get out of this continuous allurement of sense pleasure everywhere and anywhere. Whereas here there are miseries, there are difficulties, trials, problems, tribulations. And when we have them, what happens? You cannot help as a devotee look for guidance, look for help, look for a solution. So we should not wait until a disease strikes us. We should not wait until injury hits us. We should not wait until our mind starts to go on us, or we feel depression, or feel dejection, or fear doubt or uncertainty. While we have our good health, we have our youth, we have our strength. Just think back of how much time we have wasted. Time that could have been used in chanting, time that could have been used in helping others to become chanters, or others who could be given books to read about this glorious philosophy. This is the greatest welfare work. Every living entity must perform welfare activities for the benefit of others with his life, his wealth, his words, and his intelligence. It is a mandate. And the greatest welfare activities that we can perform is to give these books, as Srila Prabhupada so often said, that you may preach to a person for a half hour, but when you leave him, you go away from him, he forgets because he's bombarded by some more material. But if he has a book, just touching the book gives benefit. When he opens the book, more benefit. And if he begins to read the book, more benefit. Liberation is assured, if not in this life, then in another life. Krishna promises that one who chants the holy name, he will guide, he will direct, and he will enable that person ultimately to become liberated. Sometimes there are many karmic activities that are going on that make it not possible for that happen to immediately. But ultimately, eventually, Krishna, who has heard this person chant, is beholden, is bound to enable this person to achieve liberation. This is mentioned in the book, The Second Chance, where the explanation is given by the Vishnu Dutas to the Yamadutas, that because Ajamil had chanted, he had chanted the name Narayan, even in a way which he did not intend, to call on God, but he called upon his son. But because the name is so powerful that it can destroy the disease of illusion from which we're all suffering. And so what happened is that the Vishnu Dutas, as we know, they showed up when he started calling out his son's name, and they prevented the Yamadutas from taking him to the court of Yamaraj and punishing him for so many terrible acts that he had performed, stealing and mugging and harming people to gain money just to support the prostitute that he had taken in to live with. So attached was he. So we have to consider how important this holy name is. Whenever we get a chance, whether we're walking in the street, whether we're cooking our food, or whether we're put on hold when we're on the phone and you're waiting. So are you waiting? You chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Why waste the moment? Yeah, instead of just being on hold and just looking at the ceiling or just looking around the room or doing some mundane work, yeah, we can chant the holy name. And when the person comes on, you just say, Hare Krishna. They say, what? You say, Hare Krishna. It's a good luck word. So, therefore, we have this wonderful opportunity to, as the verse says, to cleanse the consciousness, to get rid of all the anarthas, the unwanted desires, and the more we chant, and the more we serve, the more we love the Lord, the more we serve devotees, because we have to love our neighbor as ourself. Whenever we have an opportunity to serve another devotee, this is a great opportunity, and this pleases Krishna. As long as it is done without false pride that I'm important, I'm great, look at what I'm doing. Everything is done in the sense that I'm in debt to the devotees. So many devotees doing so many wonderful services. So I have a debt to them. And that debt should be done out of love. This is my offering, my appreciation, my gratitude for all that you have done for me. And I thank you. Please enable me to do more for you. So thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada ki. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Are there any questions or comments? Thank you. Yes, Prabhuji, Bhakta Larry. Are you still Bhakta Larry or you got initiated? I don't want to make an offense. Yes.
Same path.
You have to talk loud because it's not coming. It's not hitting me here.
Oh, testing. Okay. So these birth words, Christ and Krishna, Srila Prabhupada was saying they both lead to the same path and they both have the same potency. So my question would be, why today we see, and if these words have the same potency, then why do we see like most Christians not getting the same results as we do? Like far as us, we chanting. Krishna, and you know Christ can also.
I understand your question. Yeah, in other words, why should they chant Hare Krishna? And why not chant just Jesus Christ? So Prabhupada did say too when he was talking to Father Emmanuel, he says, "Yes, you chant Jesus Christ," but he didn't say that they have the same degree of potency. He said that they're not different from Krishna. There's no question about that. But there are different, even in spiritual life, there are different levels and different degrees and in different intensities. For example, the Hare Krishna mantra is considered to be the most potent of all of Krishna's names. Okay, it's actually when one chants the name, for example, of Ram, it is three. If I can remember this correctly. Is three times more potent than 1,000 names of Vishnu. Am I getting it right? Oh, thank you. Yeah, 1,000 names of Lord Vishnu is equal to one name of Ram, and three names of Ram is equal to one Krishna. Yes. So what I'm trying to bring out is that there are different, it has different degree of potency, and therefore one stands to gain even more benefit. For example, there you may have two persons who are both spiritual masters, but one may be far more potent than another. So there's more spirituality exuding or emanating from one of them than the other. But you get benefit from both of them. You understand? And spiritual benefit from both of them. Is that, do you understand? Okay. Yes, sir. I don't think it's on, Prabhu. Is it? You can tap it. Are the lights on? Okay. I don't think so.
Okay. Yeah, thank you for a great class. I was feeling inspired by every word. On that point of you making the point about how we shouldn't wait till we you know, get sick or some disaster happens before we start you know, thinking seriously about being Krishna conscious. I had a realization about that this morning when I was chanting. I was remembering about a year ago I visited this friend
Keep
of mine.
The mic close to
you. Yeah, and thank you. About a year ago I visited this friend of mine in Hawaii, and after I was there, like, you know, about a week or so, he said to me, "Hey, Jeff, what's your exit plan?" And I said, "I never heard that expression before." I said, "Exit plan?" He said, "You know, when are you thinking of leaving?" I said, "Oh, probably about a couple of weeks." He says, "Yeah, that's okay." But I was just reflecting upon that. I was thinking, boy, I missed a great opportunity. What I should have answered him is I should have quoted this verse. Ante kale chamameva smaram mukva kalevaram yaprayati samad bhavam yati nashti atarasamshaya, that, and whoever at the end of his life quits his body, remembering me alone, at once attains my nature. Of this there is no doubt. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, boy, if I was really on my toes, I just could have quoted that verse to him and he would have been really impressed. But the point is that's the supreme exit plan. You know, as you were saying, we shouldn't be waiting till, yes, you know, we're told that we have so many months to live or whatever, you know. Just right now, we should be making our exit plan. That's a very good expression, exit plan. Yes. And actually, our whole human form of life is, you know, should be an exit plan. Because Prabhupada says here that one's thoughts during the course of one's life accumulate to influence one's thoughts at the moment of death.
Yes.
This life creates the next life. So yes, that's a very, you know, it was a really good point. And that, as I said, it was just coincidence. I just happened to be thinking about that this morning, that we should always be, that should be like a number one priority in our minds. Yes. What is my exit plan? Because it's going to happen sooner or later and we want to be prepared.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you once again. It was great class.
No, that's a good point that's made. I could even elaborate a little bit more on it. The tendency for all of us, especially the younger you are, the greater the tendency is to believe that you're going to be, you're here today, you were here yesterday, and you're going to be here for another 50 years. This is the tendency. It's incorrect. It's wrong. Because as I'm speaking, there are young people who are dying just this very moment, you see. But we because the desire is there, due to the fact that we intuitively know we're supposed to be eternal, but due to identification with the body, on reflection, we know that the body is not eternal, but still, we want to eternalize it. It gets sick, you give it medicine, or you do exercises, you do this, do that. And so the important point is this, is that we're sitting here now, but in 50 years, will we all be sitting here? Most of us won't. Maybe none of us will. So that has to really hit home, hit hard. And as soon as we understand that is, where will we be? And as Bhrigupati just quoted the verse, how does it begin? Yeah, no, the English. And whoever at the end of whoever at the end of his life quits his body and remembers me alone, at once attains my nature. Of this there is no doubt. So this is a very important point, that we need to be habituating our mind to doing this. It's not going to come by itself. Every moment you have a free moment, you just chant or you listen to the pastimes of Krishna. You do something that is going to get us into the program of Krishna consciousness and take us out of the program of worldliness, because that will bring us back. We should not think that necessarily I'm a devotee. If we become attached to certain mundane things, mundane persons, mundane activities, we may have to come back. Attachment means habituation. You become habituated. You become habituated, you become addicted. You become addicted, then you feel you need them. They're indispensable for your life. You can't live without them. When you feel you can't live without something, then you must come back to get it again. That's the problem. So the whole problem in of us as devotees is to reprogram the mind so that we desire Krishna so strongly, so intensely. Our love is so overwhelming that all we want is to be with Krishna, in service to Krishna, loving Krishna, associating with his devotees, and by so doing, trying to give Krishna more and more pleasure. And we, of course, receiving his reciprocation, will be ecstatic, will be happy, and it will be a happiness which really passes all reason and understanding, because it is transcendental, it is divine, it is from the other platform or plane, which is the eternal or spiritual plane. That's where we have to be. I think I've said enough. Are there any other comments on this point? Hare Krishna. Thank you so much. Thank you. Wow. You're sweet. Yes.